All right, random thought. And I figured I'd steal this one from the Morning Hustle this week, which was a kind of a would you rather question. Like, would you rather have every message in your phone ever go public or never have a phone again?
That's easy. Never have a phone again. I'll just start writing letters.
What the hell? What the hell have you been messaging over the last couple of years?
That's not important. But you said every message I've ever sent. So, yeah, no. I mean, there's. I don't want to say the type of messages I've sent. All I'm saying is no. I don't want that released public by any means. I will just stick to writing letters. If I got to get carrier pigeons, I'll do that, or just stick to email. But yeah, no. What about you? Would you keep the phone and let the text message be released?
Tell's going back to Game of Thrones days now. Let the crow go. You know, so for me, I can't think of anything. Okay, there may have been some drunk nights that I've done some things, that I'll text some things that I may not mean to. So there's that. But I don't know of anything that I've sent that I would be that ashamed to have
think
out.
Of before you were married, go back.
See, here's the thing. I have to think about the fact that I'm married now, and I need to be in touch with my wife. I need to be in touch with my daughter. So therefore, I have to have my phone. My wife and I have a great understanding of, you know, we did live a life before we were married. Before we met, we lived a life, and we understand that. So, now, granted, we all know, you can say these things, and then something pops up. I don't know. I can't think of any. I got to have my phone, man. I'm sorry. Y'all just going to have to see all those messages. Yeah. And judge. You can't judge me on 20-year-old me, okay? You cannot judge me on 20-year-old me.
Yeah.
Well, or even 5 years ago me. Or even 3 years ago. Well, if, I was a different man before I got married.
Hold up. If 20-year-old you was texting, how'd you have that technology and why did you not share it with me when we were in college? So you weren't texting back then. But here's the deal. It's not so much I'm worried about, let's just say, pictures that maybe I have sent or received in the past. Because you also can be able to look at things that I've received as well if I released all that. The thing I'd be embarrassed about is the time where I realize I have no game, right? Like, remember back in your single days and you're texting and all of a sudden she just stops talking to you and you're like, God, I wonder what I did. And you look back at the text, you're like, yeah, that was stupid. Why did I say that? You know, so I'm like, I don't want people to see that shit or the stuff that like I tried to like, you know, ask someone out and like on sometimes in my head, things make sense. And then when I hit that send and I look at it, I'm like, oh, that was stupid. You know what I mean?
And that, see, that's the kind of stuff that I'm not worried about getting out, because to me, that's like, eh, I'm good. I've got my wife, so I'm fine. I mean, my game may have been weak before. It's fine. My game may have been weak when I met her. It doesn't matter. Because, again, I have no game. I've always said that. I have no game, and it's just got to be a connection. Now, looking at those text messages, it's the reason why I prefer to talk on the phone than text, because, you know. I've looked back at some messages, some message threads sometimes and go, I kind of took that wrong. Or I took that a wrong way. Or just, I turned this conversation really bad. Oh, I forgot they said this. And just realizing my responses. But so I don't care about that anymore. So therefore, release the Kraken. Release my messages. I'm fine.
Yeah. Well, I don't delete people's numbers. And so let's say if I met somebody, and let's say you met on a dating app. You know, if I met you on Match or Bumble, you know, it'd be your, in my phone, your first name Match or first name Bumble. That's how I know. So I don't delete them. And so every now and then I might be just bored and kind of look through some of the people in my contacts. And I'm like, oh, you know, Stephanie Match. I wonder what was that about? And I start reading the messages. I'm like, damn, Terrell, you're stupid. You said that.
But that means growth. And see, that's why you shouldn't be afraid of that, because it shows growth. If your game right now matches your game from 10, 15 years ago, buddy, you got some growing to do.
True. Well, I feel like I'm all grown up. So
so I say release the messages. You say hold them, because you don't know which men sent you crazy pictures. I mean, I get it. You don't want that out. I understand. I understand you don't want that out there in the world. I mean... Oh my God. Y'all, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
and I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having some crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people, and we've been having those conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave a comment.
Hey, so before we get into the episode, I want to really talk about, I got a message. So why on YouTube the still pictures? I'm like, well, so there was a lot going on, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, you've been busy, and we'll get into that in a minute. I've been busy, and when I realized the syncing was going to be off on the video, it was going to take a lot to get it done right, and I was like, all right. Let's just, I told you, I wasn't even going to put it on YouTube, and you were like, no, just put it up, just put a still picture, but you got to at least put it on YouTube. I'm like, all right, so we'll put it out there. So we want to make sure that we always have, because we had another episode that didn't make it to YouTube because of similar issues, and you're like, no, just put it out. At least for those who listen on YouTube or watch on YouTube, they can still get to hear it there. Even if there's no video to go along with it, they can still. So that's why, and we'll make sure from here on, we always have it on all the platforms on time so that you can have it. Because I did get some credit. Hey, no episode today on on Monday, because like, you know, it was like 8 o'clock. Hey, no episode today. I came downstairs, got my coffee, and was it's not there. I'm like, my bad, I was a little busy.
Yeah.
But we'll make sure we're working on getting the schedule the way it is, so that we'll make sure it's up on time, because you're right, I know when I expect something a certain time, I want it at time, and you know me, I hate to be late and I hate to not be reliable. So,
but I think that was a positive that you have people like, hey, where's this? That means people are actually paying attention and watching. So I think it's great. And, we got a lot going on sometimes. And sometimes we have to make things work the best way that we can. And that's what happened this week. And not to say it's not ever going to happen again, but we'll try to make sure that, you know, we have a regular cadence and still give you the same quality that you're used to.
Exactly. Yeah. Shout out to Drew. Shout out to Don. You know, it's interesting when we made the switch to dropping the video of the podcast, the YouTube version, on Tuesdays and the audio on Monday. The first week, I think that happened, like, hey, so what? Not putting it on YouTube anymore? No. We're going to do it the next day. Like, and a lot of podcasts do that. They'll drop the audio version one day, then drop the YouTube the next day. And we were just a little ambitious and dropped them both on the same day. It just gives us time to separate the two and allow for different people to listen the way they do. And it works out. So that's the new schedule. We're going to be, it's been the schedule, but that's what we're going to keep to. Monday, usually the audio will drop about 6 a.m. And because of The Bachelor, we're dropping the video like later in the day on Tuesday. We'll start dropping it early in the day on Tuesday now that we're not doing The Bachelor recap, at least until the next episode of Married at First, the next season of Married at First Sight, when you decide to watch it with me, and we'll go over that. So yeah, that's perfect.
Hard pass.
No. We have not decided to pass on that.
I think I'm going to be on PTO. I'll be on vacation when that show comes out. So
I hate to tell you this, buddy, but the PTO stands for paid time off. You're not getting paid to do this. So
well then, I'm gonna have to get a stand in. You know, I'm gonna have to find myself. If anybody out there feels like they look like me and sound like me, contact me, please.
No, God definitely broke the mold after he made you. Like, oh, hell no, never, no more. What's been going on in the life of Terrell, man?
Oh, man. I've been trying to step up my workout game. I know you and I have been talking about, you know, working out, and, you know, we got the exercise bikes that I still haven't used. And
have you at least set it up?
But yes, it's set up. It's
nice. Good.
Yeah, it's a beautiful paperweight. It's amazing. I just haven't used it yet.
Did you get the extra bike seat? Because that's an excuse. The cushion for the bike seat.
No.
Did you get that?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, not yet. But I just kind of went old school and said, you know, I'm gonna start running, and kind of got into that. And I was getting into this regular cadence before I had a couple weeks of travel, which that just totally throws you off from diet, exercise. Could I have worked out in the hotel? Sure, did it. But it just totally throws you off. But I've been getting back out there running, and that whole concept of muscle memory is, it's so true. And I like running around. There's a lake out here. It's about a three mile loop. So today I did it in like 40 minutes. So I'm getting better. My time is getting a lot better, but it feels better. But every morning as I wake up, I'm like, God, I hate this. Like, I hate running with the passion.
Yeah.
But the results are great. So afterwards, I just feel better. So I'm glad I'm getting my mile time down. Am I ever going to get back to, you know, an 8-9 minute mile? I don't know, but honestly, I don't care. I just want to be getting to a regular habit of just kind of running and staying active and doing some other things, especially now that it's starting to get warmer and summer's coming. There's going to be some great hiking trails in my future. Kayaking on Town Lake, that's going to be coming up. So I'm just trying to get myself ready. Ready for that. It's going to be Speedo weather soon, so I need to make sure I got
Jesus Christ, please, right. No, don't do that.
had to put that visual in your head.
No, please don't. Please don't. Holly Berry. You know, it's first of all, I've seen the pictures of the lake on your Facebook, and great pictures. So I can only imagine, you know, when you go out for that walk and the sun's rising and it's just a great view to go do it. And you're right. Get out there. Get that run going. I hate running, too. I run for two reasons. If somebody's chasing me, somebody or something's chasing me, or if I need to make it to the kitchen doing commercial breaks during the game or to the bathroom. Yeah. So that's about it. Other than that, I hate running. But if I have to, I'll do it. And I try to get into it and go, all right, let's walk a little bit. We'll jog a little bit. We'll walk a little bit. We'll jog a little bit. Find a way to get back in that, because running to me, I hate it. I really and truly hate it, but you're right. You do feel better when you do it, and I think once I get into this, get my schedule back into a regular, normal routine, then I can finally get back into working out, because I've got about 150 pounds I need to get rid of.
Yeah, I remember it made me think about when I first started running in 2011. That was the first time that January 1, 2011, I just went for a run, and my goal that year was to run a half marathon, and I did that in like November. But I would start running, and I would like make negotiations. Okay, from this spot to that stop sign, you're just going to keep running. And then you can walk a little bit. And then from that spot to that spot. And so I went back to that old school way that I started. And so as I'm around the lake, they have these different little markers and just different. There's the piers and all these different things. So I started negotiating with myself, just keep running to get to this point.
Find the finish line and get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so when I went running yesterday morning, I had that same mindset. I'm like, come on, let's go. And I noticed that I ran the first like mile without stopping, you know, to walk at all. Now my calves and everything started to be like, hey, hey, time out.
Hey, brother, we need a breather.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was tough, but I'm glad. Like this morning when I got up, I'm laying there and my legs are sore, and I still got up and went out and did it. And once I get out there, I just feel good. And so I'm glad it takes me back to just a happy place. Times in my life where I was really happy was when I was exercising regularly and all that. And I think it's so easy to get bogged down with work stress, you know, life stress or whatever, and all that stuff just builds on you. And for me, running is that release. You know, I just got some good, you know, old school New Orleans bounce music in my head, and I'm just going. And it just feels great. And I like the fact that you have, I call these people accountability partners, though they don't know it. Because if you're running on a treadmill, you could look like crap, be dogging it, you can stop. But then when you're running there, people are walking past you, especially you might see some beautiful ladies walking past you. All of a sudden, I'm like Usain Bolt. I got the form. I'm all breathing. And then as soon as they pass, I'm like,
oh my God.
What about you, man?
that is so true. But for me, we're recording this on Sunday. I yesterday got my first dose of the vaccine.
Nice.
And you know, interesting, because when I told you I was getting the vaccine, your first thought and first comment was, "Do you remember what it was?"
I think I said, are you going to cry like a bitch?
Yes. I'm like, yep, that's exactly why we're friends. Exactly why. And I was like, yeah, not like you did. But I will say, interesting thing, because I went there, get in there. First of all, I've seen the most interesting spelling of my name ever. I've seen my name spelled so many different ways, but to see the way they spell it, because guys, I can't find you on there. I look over on the paper and I go, oh, there it is. But they misspelled the last name really bad. But I get up there, we go through, and the woman comes up to give me the shot. And I notice I get a little nervous. I'm like, oh, shit. Because I hate needles. I hate needles. So I get the shot. It's real quick, real fast. Puts the Band-Aid on and goes, all right, so make sure you tell all your friends we're giving out cool Scooby-Doo Band-Aids. And I was like, yeah, that's a selling point. That's exactly why I came. But it was, you know, I'm back in 4 weeks for the second dose. And, you know, I will say I didn't really feel anything. There was a little soreness in my arm probably last night, this morning when I first woke up. But other than a headache. And I blame myself for that because I'd been drinking a little bit more water yesterday, but I didn't hydrate enough as I should have prior to and after. So when I woke up this morning, I was like, oh crap, my head is pounding. And I was just tired.
Yeah.
Like I woke up, the little one was up and we joked around, laughed around, ate. And then I was like, I'm tired. And my wife was like, well, crawl back into bed, go to sleep. And I was like, you know, this is why I married you. Thank you. I love you. And I crawled back into bed and I went to sleep. And then when I got up, she's like, why are you up? I'm like, you know what? I love you. Because, you know, and you probably had somebody, why the hell are you still laying in the bed? You know?
Yeah.
But no, she's always looking out for my well-being. So, you know, I'm just glad I was able to get the vaccine. Let's go on to the next level. Because I'm traveling, like you, I'm traveling a lot more now. And there's going to be a lot more travel in my future. So, therefore, I need to protect protect my family. And it's the reason that I went to the gun shop to get a gun to protect my family. You know, when we're by ourselves, we're invincible. Same reason I'm doing this. This is just a gun to protect the family. The vaccine for me is that exact same thing. It's protecting the family so that I'm making sure that we're all safe. So,
did you, when they gave you the shot, did you look or did you look away?
I never look. Come on.
I do. I like to look. Like, even if they're drawing blood giving me a shot, I just like to look at it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I just feel like it. I used to hate needles when I was a kid. But, you know, I'm a man now and grew up and got out of that. So one day you reach this level, needles won't bother you either. But I like to just watch because I just feel like I just want to see. I don't know why.
Let's just be clear. I'm still the same man that doesn't eat fruits or vegetables. So there's no growing out of this. I'm never going to like needles. I'm never going to like fruits and vegetables. Let's just get that clear.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I remember. Here's what's so funny about it. I remember going into this this restaurant once, right? And it's like I forget the name of it. Oh, it's Gringo's. So Gringo's is kind of like Moe's Southwest or Qdoba. And it's. I remember I tell a guy what I want on my burrito. He's like, "Oh my God, what are you, 5?" I said, "You're goddamn right. Now make my burrito." I don't need your judgment. I'm not paying for your goddamn judgment. Make my burrito the way I want it. Give me the pinto beans, the rice, the chicken, the steak, and some extra cheese. That's it.
Yeah. And some French fries. Some French fries.
Hold the damn judgment. I don't need that.
No, that's good, man. I'm glad you got your first shot. I get my second shot this Thursday, which is April Fool's Day. So it's kind of weird that I'm getting a shot on April Fool's Day. But
you're going to show up and like, April Fool's.
Yeah, I get my, they give me the placebo. But I get my second shot on Thursday, so I'll let you know how that goes, if I have any crazy symptoms, because I think I haven't done Pfizer, I think you did Moderna, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I had a buddy of mine that just got his second shot Friday, and he was fine. You know, so I think it just could be different people might be experiencing different things. It's not the expectation that you're going to have flu-like symptoms, but I definitely glad you got it done. Hopefully more people follow suit and go out and get shots if it's available to you.
Just go back to the Little John Day. Shots, 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 shots. Just do it that way. I mean, get it back. Was it LMFAO?
Yeah, LMFAO and Little John.
Yeah. So it's another week, which means Ted Cruz probably did something stupid this week, didn't he?
Yes.
I was actually joking.
Yes. So Ted Cruz, for those that might not be familiar with our Texas politicians, Ted Cruz is a senator, and I want him voted out, not because of his political beliefs, because he's a liar. And so if you recall, we had the snowpocalypse of Texas, and Ted Cruz and his family left to go to Cancun, which I have no issue with. You know, they got Wi-Fi. He can still work. He came back the next day after everybody was upset about it and lied, saying that he was, you know, just being a good dad and taking his daughters on a vacation for spring break, which wasn't true because his wife's text messages came out saying that, hey, we, you know, it's cold. We want to get out of here. Let's go to Cancun. Rooms are $300 a night. Great security. Who wants to come? And so those group text messages got released, which is another reason why I don't want it. My text messages getting released. Because you just never know. So then after
that, we
know
Ted Cruz and the family are choosing. No phones.
Yeah, and so no phones. So then after that, he goes to do these little photo ops of him, you know, putting water in cars. Mm-hmm. He didn't quarantine after going out of country. Mm-hmm. The dude's just a liar. So what's happened recently is him and about 17 other senators went to the border because immigration is a big deal right now. Yeah. And they're talking about the human trafficking going on the border, the women and children and the situation that they're living in. Some of them, it's just not safe conditions. And he's making this big deal. And he's saying that, you know, this is technically Biden's fault. Biden needs to do something about this and all that. Now, I agree. Biden needs to do something about this. Mm-hmm. But where was Ted Cruz 2 years ago when everybody was upset about the border and the way people were being treated at the border and the all the people locked up at the border, families getting separated? Ted Cruz didn't have an issue with that. But all of a sudden, now it's a Democratic president. Mm-hmm. He's going to chime in and go out there and create this like documentary type video of him out there, you know, at the border and sees the cartels across the street. I'm like, come on, Ted. You know, at what he's saying, yes, we do need to take care of these people at the border. But why were you not making videos 2 years ago? Because your boy Trump, who talked shit about you, your dad, and your wife, you know, you're not going to say anything bad about him. But Biden, all of a sudden, you're going to throw him under the bus after he's been in office for, what, 2 months and some change?
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, he's supposed to all of a sudden fix the border. And he's assigned, Biden has assigned Kamala Harris to solve the border problem. So I'm curious to see what she's going to do. But that's what Ted Cruz did this week. Yeah.
But, you know, first of all, Ted Cruz, Texas is going to re-elect Ted Cruz because that's just what Texas is going to do. Texas is going to Florida and become Flexus. So, you know, I expect that to happen. I applaud your efforts and I do support you in your efforts. However, because I'm no Ted Cruz fan, Ted Cruz right now, why is he at the border? Simply because he is running for president early. Okay, he's putting in his bid to be the Republican representative for president, the Republican nominee for president in 2024, which, you know, that's what he's going to do. He's been wanting to be president forever, and that's his goal still. But here's where I have to – I get your point. Where was he 2 years ago? But it's the exact same thing that happens on the left that happens on the right. It depends on who's in power, whether it's an issue or not, because they're not calling out their own party. And this is one of the reasons why I love watching Bill Maher, because Bill Maher calls everybody out, right? He's not afraid to say, yes, I donated $1 million to Barack Obama's second campaign. But yes, I'm still gonna call him out on things that he does that he doesn't do that I don't like, or things that he does that I don't like. And I have no issue with that. And I think that's the problem. It's like the reason why Ted didn't do it is the same reason why the Democrats right now who are not saying anything about Biden and negatively about Biden now, because you want to support the party. It's this gang affiliation crap, and this is why we need a strong third party, a centralist party that understands Democrat, you know, conservative, and understands some conservative values and some liberal values, and it's a mixture of those that is what makes this country great. And if and leave the extremists on the ends, and let those extremists suffer out there on the ends, because they cannot be the ones to run the parties. This two party system is getting extremely dangerous because it doesn't matter. It could be saying the exact same thing I want to hear, but because you are on the left or you are on the right, we can't agree. That's no way that we're going to win in this thing. So,
I had an interesting conversation with my brother last night, and he was thinking that the third party option is going to be whatever Donald Trump creates. And if he wants to run in 2024, excuse me. And I thought about it. I was like, well, I don't see that happening, because what would happen is he would split the Republican Party.
Republican vote, yep.
And so I don't see a whole lot of Democrats voting for a Trump third party option, right? And so I think it would cause more of a problem for the Republican Party.
It would.
But I do think there needs to be – I don't believe we'll ever get to a place where we have a third party. But the problem, I think, is what you're saying is – it's the extremists on the far left and the far right, to me, are the problems. Mm-hmm. But yet, they make the most noise, thus they rally the base a whole lot more. Those Republicans and liberals that are closer to the middle, you know, they don't really impact the party as much. And so how do we get that? And if you look at what's happened in the political climate over the last 4 years, it's those that make noise. You know, I think Trump did a good job of just making a whole lot of noise, generating a huge base of people. And I think people like that now. Mm-hmm. It's not so much who's the smartest, who has the most background. It's who's going to make the most noise and who's going to disrupt the system. Yeah. And so those are the people that are generating all this traction. So I don't know if a third party option would have the ability to do that, because the third party would be targeting the common sense voters. And yes. I don't think there's enough of those that would warrant a third party to actually, or allow a third party to be able to win an election. It'd have to be a phenomenal candidate. I mean, let's say George Clooney and Matthew McConaughey for VP. It'd have to be something super dynamic to even make that even possible.
And to the conversation you and your brother had, the simple fact is that the reason, if Trump were to do it and try to create his own party, the Republicans understand that he controls the Republican base so much right now that that's why they bent to his will over the last 4 years. Because remember, they ridiculed him when he first said he was going to run for president 5 years ago. And they were like, ha, 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 ha. And then he just stood there and said, okay, I'll show you fuckers. And he sure enough came through. He took on the biggest bully in the room, who was supposed to be the strongest person, Jeb Bush. And he knocked him out immediately. And when he took him out, I went, uh-oh, they don't see it. But he has a strong chance to be the nominee. And sure enough, look what happened. He became president. And they bowed to him all along the way, which is why Ted Cruz still kisses his ass at this point. So, you know, you're right. I don't think there will be a strong third party, but there needs to be, just because they are like third and fourth parties, but they're not, neither of them are strong. Libertarian is not going to do it. Green Party, that's not going to do it. You need something that's strong enough, and like you said, that star power to take it to the next level, because without it, it's just going to be, I'm good. And speaking of voting, as we are deep into politics as usual, Georgia is in the spotlight for what they just did behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And I've seen the meme. So to get everybody caught up, so Georgia signed in these voting rights bills that just basically restricts a lot of activity, even to the point of it's illegal to give somebody food or water if they're standing in line to vote, right? That's how silly it gets to. And now if you're planning on making it a lot easier to vote and a lot more places to vote and the lines are shorter, then great. But it doesn't sound like that's what they want to do, because they're trying to discourage voters. And I saw a meme that goes, when Democrats knock to see what's going on behind closed doors, and you saw the representative that got arrested, and then they showed a picture of the insurrection of, you know, when Republicans go knocking on the door and which one's fine and which one's not. So
yeah,
I think the divide is only getting bigger. And this is not Georgia's one state that has a spotlight on it, but this is happening across multiple Republican run states where they're trying to change the voting rights laws to the point that President Biden's calling it, what is it, likening it to Jim Crow laws.
I didn't hear that one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, he did say that, I guess, as I'm looking at some of this. It is crazy. And when you look at the bill, so, you know, they have like mandatory on two Saturdays, voting allowed on two Saturdays. They're trying to limit eliminate the Sunday voting. And then, as you pointed out, you can't give people water, food while they're in line. They're wanting people to have IDs for absentee ballots and all those different things. Now, I agree with having an ID to go vote. I totally agree with that. I think you should have ID. You got to have ID to do so many other things.
Mm-hmm.
You should have an ID to go vote. I definitely agree with that. And they are trying to make it harder for people. But on the flip side, and this is where I was thinking last night, this is a great time for these disenfranchised voters to keep themselves engaged. I think if you look at what happened in Atlanta during the 2020 election, they were working it. Stacey Abrams, they were out there hardcore, you know, working it. And a lot of people were not happy with Trump. but you have to keep that same energy. Don't wait till the last day to go vote. And I think you had a whole lot of absentee ballots mainly due to COVID. If there wasn't COVID, a lot of people would go vote. But now make this a priority. Pay attention to what's going on at the local level, at the state level, and then get involved in the national election. But make the time to do it. Don't wait until election day. And then, you know, I'm in line all day. Well, you waited to the last minute. I voted in person early, way early as I could in my county. And whole process took me about an hour, you know, where the lines that happened of people that waited to the last day, even in a pandemic, was crazy, right? So don't allow them to be able to take this from you. There's ways that we can do this. Now, this bill doesn't say you can't bring your own water and then give somebody a sip. You know, there's ways you can get around this stuff if you need to, you know, but I think they're going to try to do these things. And I just think we as people of color, we have to make sure that we are engaged in this process, not just when there's a black president, not just when there's a black VP in general, regardless of who the people are running. Pay attention to what's going on in office, whether they're Democrat or Republican. You make your choice, but be engaged in the political process.
And not only that, stop voting just down the ballot, man. It's, oh, I'm going to go vote because it's an easy way to go. I'm just going Democrat. I'm just going Republican. And this goes for everybody on either side. And it's really and simple. Understand the candidates. It's this gang warfare we have is not healthy. You know, the same way you want the Bloods and Crips to stop fighting. Yeah, this is the same concept because this is exactly what it is. And you've got to really understand that the further down you go on the ballot, the closer it gets to your front door. And the reason why these laws are being made in your state, in your county, in your cities, are because if you ignore what's happening there and you don't try to vote other people out that are closer, because, yeah, you see the big numbers for the president, and that's the one that gets the most coverage. But locally, that's what affects your schools. That's what affects the zoning. That's what affects everything that's happening outside your front door. So please look down the ballot and understand what's happening and who you're voting for. And at the same time, man, I mean, it's I want people to be so engaged in this. And I know it gets boring after a while because this is what Barack Obama said in 2008. Now the work begins because we elected the first black president. All right, it's going to be all good. Let me sit back, relax, and watch him work. No, he's not going to fix the stuff outside your front door. That's where you have to keep working. And we watched that happen even to 2012. And you're like, oh, well, we already got him in, so whatever. And we're not going to vote as much this time. And it was a closer election. He still, you know, beat the crap out of Romney. But, you know, it was – you could see that people weren't as engaged anymore. And what happened was 2016. And then now 2020 engaged again, re-engaged. Great. Now let's move forward. Let's understand this. They're not restricting you from voting because your vote doesn't count. So stop saying that. America is the one country that's constantly trying to find ways to stop people from voting and make less people vote. If we're the democratic country, if we're the symbol of democracy in the world, then why are we putting up more laws to stop people from voting? Why are we making voting more of a privilege than a right? Why are there countries around the world that actually, as soon as you turn 18, you don't even have to register to vote. You're automatically eligible to vote because they've got you in a database, which they all have us in a database, right? So why do I got to register to vote? No, here's where I am. You have my address on file because you have my ID, and this is where I have it's. That's why you got to update your ID. Yeah. So if I got to update my ID, then you should update my voting. This should be easy. It's so simple to see. It's that important because they keep trying to find ways to stop you from voting. So yes, stop saying your vote doesn't count.
But I hate the excuse that the left makes on, you know, if you require people to show ID, then you're disenfranchising people of color. I'm like, well, that's kind of bullshit because because anybody can have an ID. You might not be able to have a driver's license because of things maybe you've done, but nothing stops you from having an ID. And so you should. You should have one. I agree with that 100%. You should have ID on you. I can't think of off top head, you know, what would stop somebody being able to have just an ID. Mm-hmm. You know, a state ID. You know, doesn't have to be driver's license, doesn't have to be a passport, just a state ID. That can be obtained fairly easily. So you should have an ID, but stop trying to make excuses for people or allow people to say it's okay to not have identification on you. And I think that's what the left is doing, in my opinion. Instead of holding their constituents accountable to say, hey, let me show you how to get an ID card.
Exactly.
You know, here's some classes if you need help getting an ID. You know, if you have some things that you need to get off your driving record so you can get a driver's license, here's some classes locally in your community that you can do. Here's how we're going to help you do that. Instead of trying to say that they shouldn't ask for identification when people go vote.
No, they should ask for identification. You're right. And because you, if I remember correctly, every time I've had to vote, got to show my voting card or ID or both. Because I've voted in person, I've voted absentee. And, you know, even absentee, you got to be able to show you are who you say you are. So, mm-hmm. which I get. And at the end of the day, you want to make sure that each one is, each vote is counted properly. And then not multiple and no fraudulent votes, even though we did find the fraudulent votes. And they just happened to be on the Republican side in a high school and a homecoming court. That's all. We did find those fraudulent votes. If you missed it, check out episode 28. Speaking of schools and political, and this is sure to become a big political issue. And it's going to be interesting to see if more people do it. Because you kind of said this may happen in the workplace. And I said, I don't know that too many jobs are going to make you do this. But Rutgers has taken a pretty strong stance when it comes to the vaccine.
Yep. So Rutgers, as the first university that for students attending the 2021 fall semester, if they're going to attend classes on campus, they have to have gotten vaccinated first. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to take online classes or you're doing, you know, remote learning, you don't have to get vaccinated. But if you're going to actually be on campus and do in-person classes, you have to be vaccinated. And they're going to get a lot of vaccines that they can distribute to faculty, staff, and students. But to make it a requirement for you to come back on campus, great. And if you have different religious reasons or whatever reasons you don't want to take the vaccine, then you have to take online classes and you can't come on campus. Yep. And when we first talked about this, you know, probably maybe second month of doing the podcast, I'd said at some point, this is mm-hmm. going to be the standard. Employers are going to require you to do it if you want to come work on site. And then schools are going to require you to do it to have certain shots. I think when you're a kid, right? I think when your daughter starts going to school, that you have to show that she's gotten certain shots before she can actually start. I think this is going to be the standard. So I think kudos to Rutgers. If they want to get back to having some normal on campus activity, I think it's great. And what we saw with college students when the pandemic first started, you know, they're young, they're invincible. They were having COVID parties to see who can hurry up and get it so we can just, you know, get herd immunity going and move on. They're going to do all types of crazy stuff. Let's make them safe and mm-hmm. give them the shot. So I think it's a great move that Rutgers did. I think the state supports it. A lot of people are supporting this initiative and they're giving you that option. If you don't want to take the shot, then take online classes. Just don't come on campus. I like the idea.
I have no problem with it. I'm not for this military reign of everybody must do this, you know, and forcing people to do things. But here's the option. You've been given an option. You want to come on campus? Here are the rules. This to me is no shirt, no shoes, no mask, no service. It's the same thing to me because, again, you want to come on campus? This is what you have to do. If you don't want to take it, well, here's the other option that we have for you, right? Mm-hmm. Just like if you don't want to go into a restaurant because they require you to wear a mask, well, here's DoorDash. Yeah. Here's the app. We'll deliver it, and hopefully they get there on time. It'll still be just as warm. But you can't be mad that I ask you to wear a mask when you come in. If when I tell you you have to wear a shirt, you're not complaining. And excuse me, so you have to have shoes on. Well, what's wrong? No. So therefore, here's the same thing with Rutgers. I applaud them for what they're doing. I don't know how many. It'll be interesting to see how this goes because I don't know that jobs can really. And you know more about this than I do as to whether jobs can actually enforce that in that sense. And it may be just the reason that some people go, you know what? Well, I do want to work remotely anyway. So if you give me the option to work remotely and not take the vaccine, then so be it. But you're right. With kids going to school, you want all the kids to be vaccinated. Why? Because you don't want anybody, you don't know what anybody else is doing at home, what they have going on in their house. We don't eat from everybody's potluck at work because we don't know how people's kitchens are. Well, are you going to trust your kids with other people's kids when you don't know what their living conditions are and what they may be bringing into the school? So you always want this, where people are going to be safe and you want the kids to be safe because here's the problem. Like you said, the college-age kids, we were all there. We were all invincible.
Mm-hmm.
We made it out alive, thank God. we want to make sure that continues. So what's the safest way? Rutgers, I applaud you for what you've done. And I think you're going to see, if there's not major backlash on this, you're going to see more schools do exactly this. Because right now you've got, I forget which campus it was that shut down the campus. Everybody stay in your rooms because they had an outbreak of COVID.
Yep.
That's bad. Because if you thought staying in your house was bad, imagine having to stay in your room. And you and I know from being at UTSA, hey, there's a lot of sneaking around going on between dorm rooms and whatnot. So, yeah, you're going to tell them stay in their rooms, but I guarantee you there's still a lot more spreading going around.
Yeah, no, 100%, right? And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's not so much just the campus activity. And just because somebody's young doesn't mean they don't potentially have compromised immune systems.
Right.
Or maybe their family might have compromised immune systems. So it's really a safety issue. But then also you think about the faculty and staff. If you're going to make them come on site, we need to protect them. And a lot of that faculty and staff are older. But imagine if Rutgers is able to do that, the sooner they can do this, the sooner they can have, you know, some of the different social gatherings that they've had. Because I think 2020 has really impacted our level of socialization, right? Even now, even though I got my first shot and I got the next one coming, if I see somebody I know, you know, at the grocery store, I'm like, oh, hey. And like, you see both of you kind of like want to hug and, but now it's kind of weird, right? How do we get back to that place? And then you think about the college level, and Rutgers has some really great sports programs. And so now all the students can actually come and attend and support sporting events. The pep rallies and all the different fun things that you could do. The band can come out and actually perform again. So you want to be able to get students back to this level of normalcy. And plus, that's what the college experience is like. You can go to any college and take classes. Everybody picks a certain school for a reason. Oh, hopefully. They pick a certain school for a reason. But the college experience, you know, is the fun part of it. It's not just, you know, the education is what's important, but the experience that you have. And so the sooner that they allow students to come back on campus, all vaccinated, and they can interact with each other in a safe way, I'm for it. And I think a lot more schools are going to follow suit, because if you can't let parents know how you're going to keep people safe, then you have that one outbreak where all of a sudden, hey, nobody goes on, you stay in your dorm. Nobody can come out on campus because we have an outbreak. You're gonna lose more money on that than you would if you just invested in the vaccine. So hopefully other schools do the exact same thing.
And to your point of keeping the teachers safe, you don't want 65-year-old Professor X up there and the student says, so what am I making right now? Oh, you're going to fail this class. Oh, really? Sorry. Bad joke. I know. Bad joke.
That's messed up. That's messed up, man. That's jacked up.
Would you like to change that grade, or do I need feel another cough coming on?
Oh, that is messed up, man. I think that's almost as messed up as for the love of sports with Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and maybe it's just me, but I'm like, where did all these lawsuits come from out of the blue? Because all of a sudden now he doesn't want to play for them. And now these lawsuits come out of absolutely nowhere. So I'm a little suspicious about this. And I haven't looked into every lawsuit and all the allegations against him. But I'm just like, whoa, wait a minute. Because Deshaun Watson, we've watched this story, and especially me, because he was in Clemson, South Carolina. Even though I wasn't a Clemson fan, I just was, you know, here's his brother that came, took over running that program the way he did it and went to the NFL. I was happy to see him do well in the NFL. You always heard about him and his grandmother and even the stuff he did working with Habitat for Humanity, building homes for those, the things that he wanted for him when he was coming up that he was doing for other people. And then all of a sudden, he gets his huge contract, second largest quarterback contract behind Pat Mahomes. And so they're celebrating him. And then he goes, I don't want to be here anymore. And all of a sudden, here come these allegations. I'm a little suspicious.
Okay. So I've always been on the side of listen to the women, because you just never know. It's easy to say that this is a money grab and a lot of people are making those claims. And a lot of people, I mean, when you think about Deshaun, all the different things he's done, his you know, Habitat for Humanity work. When I worked with Ashley Furniture, we did a big deal with him where he helped get furniture for a lot of people that needed it. Great stuff, right? And so it's easy to say, wow, I can't believe he would do something like that. But
right.
I think it's the same thing we said about Bill Cosby. When that came out, people were like, I can't believe Cliff Huxtable would do anything like that.
Right. You know, facts. Okay.
Only because we knew Cliff Huxtable. We didn't know Bill Cosby. So I've been paying attention to it, especially since I live in Texas. It's a lot more information coming out. And I've been following some of these lawsuits. Now, some of them are sketchy because there's one where this woman claims that he's messaging her. How he found this person, I don't know. But they're messaging and he's asking her, you know, well, I really want deep tissue. I want to focus on the glute area. Are you experienced with that? And he kept saying it, which I think is just weird. Like, to me, I think if you want a massage, I've never been like, can you really focus on my glutes? Maybe say it once, but he said it multiple times. So he gets to her house, which I thought was odd. So she breaks out the massage table, and she even says in her lawsuit that she had never really given a massage before. And I was like, red flag.
I know. Wait, what?
Yeah. And then she's never done a
squeeze massage. Not a half-ass massage.
Red flag number two.
She used to give those half-ass massages we get in college.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just thought it was just weird. I'm like, okay. And then he's asking her to focus on, you know, his glutes and telling her to go higher. And she just thought, well, this is just normal. I've never done a massage before, so I thought this was normal. Bing, red flag number three. And then he's like, are you ready for me to flip over? He flips over. Apparently, she's rubbing his legs. He's telling her to go higher. And then he gets aroused, and he decides to put things into his own hands and solve the problem, right? So I read that, and I'm like, okay, this seems suspicious.
Uh-huh.
And then he sends her a text message about, sorry, make you feel uncomfortable, and all this. So it does feel like there's there's something awry with this whole story. Mm-hmm. But what I don't understand is you are the quarterback of the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
That team, if you're looking for deep massages, they have massage therapists, masseuses on site that can solve whatever you need quickly. Their job is to make sure that you are good. They are paid to sit around and wait for you to say, I need my glutes rubbed. They will totally do it. So I'm like, why are you going out there doing this? A, then why are you going to their house? B, and then you have, you make millions. You should have somebody that's your liaison that's texting for you. Why are you texting directly from your phone? And let's just say that's his fetish. Maybe that's his kink that he likes to have, you know, get a little rub down and a little rub and tug, you know, once a week, you know, get his mind right for a game. If that's his kink, great. But you could easily pay for that and have someone set up just to do that for you. So I'm like, this whole thing just doesn't make sense to me. And when there's this many allegations, somewhere in the middle lies the truth. Apparently, this attorney for all these 16 women says he has proof and evidence that he's going to be giving over to the authorities. And so I'm waiting to see that. And right now, it's not a criminal suit. It's a civil suit, which means they go for the money, right? They're not trying to get him in jail. But I just think there's something messy here. But I still look at Deshaun and say, dude, what the hell were you thinking?
I'm looking at Deshaun's girlfriend and going, could she take some massage classes here? No, I mean, here's the thing about it, man. It's really weird that, especially as you were telling me some of the details of the allegations, and I'm like, you're right, because you know you have these people that are there that they can do the deep tissue massage, and is this more so just the fact that this was the bumble of massage apps that he was on? Was he on Craigslist? I'm looking for somebody who's never done a massage before who can do a deep tissue on my glutes. And yes, don't tell my girl.
Wink emoji.
Exactly. So it's like,
yeah.
Again, I just think it's weird that I'm with you, because I remember when that thing was out, believe all women. I listened to all women. All right. I forget who said it. I think it might have been Bill Burr, one of these comedians. I was like, no, listen to all women. Because you should listen and hear and you know, just determine what's right and what's wrong, because not every woman that says something is telling the truth. We've all been down that path before, and just like men who lie, which we'll get to in just a minute. But the fact is, with Deshaun Watson in this one, it's just strange to me. It's very strange to me that you had these 16 women. Did he do this in the last 16 days? But he said he didn't want to, or the last month and a half, 2 months that he said he didn't want to play for the Texans anymore. All of a sudden, he decided to go on this massage me spree. Or has this been happening for years? And the Houston Texans are like, well, yeah, you know, it's nothing. You know, we'll just keep that under wraps. And then now he doesn't want to play for them. All right, all y'all come out now. You know, we're releasing you from your NDA. Is that what it is? Or did they, and I hate to go this route, but you saw how the NFL did conspire against Colin Kaepernick to make sure he never played in the league again. And you look back at this and I go, did they go, all right, it's time to bury this Negro. You're getting too. This is the same owner who said you can't have the inmates running the jail. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Again. So here's where I disagree, because okay. I would say that's true if this mm-hmm. was. He allegedly got a massage from this person. He's like, yeah, right. There's no way that happened because I was in Kansas City playing against mm-hmm. the Chiefs during this date right. that she's saying this happened. He did get these massages. He did reach out to these women. So uh-huh. it's not, I don't think it's if the organization was making up lies about him, but he literally did get these massages. He's not coming out saying, I've never gotten a massage from anybody other than the trainers at the facility. So I don't understand where this is coming from. Mm-hmm. That is the problem. And so, to me, he is the one that should be held accountable for this. And whether he did these things or not, he just has to think and be smarter about it. Like, why are you getting these random massages from people that you don't know? They don't know you. You're using yep. your own phone to text them. Whether it's a burner phone or not, it's your phone. And you've said, yep, I did send that text message. That's your fault. Right. And the other thing that I think people need to realize is I truly believe this. Everybody has a kink. Everybody yeah. has something that they are into. We just don't like to talk about it in public because we don't want people to judge us. Everybody has something they are into. And if this is his kink that he's into, massage and rub and tugs, awesome. Just say that and find somebody who's willing to do it and be upfront with it. And that way you get, whether it's in a text message or not, they know, yes, sir, sweetest massage, hit the glutes, and then, you know, extra finish on it. And now you have it digitally that they're on board, you know, and that's what you paid for. That's okay if that's your kink, but you're doing this with randoms that mm-hmm. you're risking. You have too much to lose.
Way too
in
much,
doing yeah. this, you know, so yeah. I'm not knocking him for having a massage fetish and just kind of wants to have that happen. But you have way too much to lose to be reaching out to different strangers in different cities and states. You can find at least, you can find two or three people that you have on your kind of payroll and just rotate them. I'm going to fly you out, meet to Kansas City before the game, hit the glutes, hit the quads, finish it up, and wrap.
Hit the third yeah. leg. Well, at least we know one thing. If Deshaun had to pick that would you rather, it'd be like, I'd never have a phone again. My assistant will have the phone.
So there's going to be more to this story. I'm paying attention yeah. to it just to see. I hope it's not true. I hope that it's a whole bunch of misunderstandings. But the more these stories come out, there's just some yeah. stuff that makes me question Deshaun. Like, what were you thinking? So I hope he's able to salvage this. But it's not looking good right now. So waiting to see what his defense comes out with. To go against it and await to this evidence that this lawyer has. Once that gets released to the public, it'll be interesting. If it winds up just being some more basic text messages that really don't prove anything, it'll yeah. wind up being a he says, she said, and just kind of a little bit of a smear on his personality. Somebody's still going to pick him off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody's still going to pick him up. He'll be playing next year.
Well, he's got guaranteed money. So regardless, unless part of that guaranteed money is scandal and that's their loop. Again, this is why I question it. What's in the contract to get them away from not paying him? Because he's got a shitload of guaranteed money in his deal. You know, as we transition from For the Love of Sports into this bullshit, and there's only one this bullshit story this week, and it really comes from the book of Thou Doth Protest Way Too Damn Much. Thou dost call out other men way too much on their cheating ways, while thine is still cheating like a mother. Derek Jackson. Just even the way he spells the name, Jackson. You know, you should have known he was up to some shady shit. J-A-X-N. Mm. I mean, phonetically, I guess it works. Jackson. He was axing some things. But man, jeez.
So what, apparently, for those that don't know, Derek Jackson, I believe since around 2010, 2012, has been this, you know, author, poet, but writes a lot of books for on relationships, and really speaks to a lot of women, especially to a lot of black women, about what they should be looking for in a man, and, you know, mm-hmm. if he cheats, this, and all this different type of stuff, and these type of men are no good, and yada, yada, yada. And so his net worth is about $1.5 million. He has over 700,000 followers on his YouTube and Instagram. I mean, he's a big deal.
1.3 million on Instagram.
Yeah, so come to find out, he's been cheating a lot, right? And so he releases this video with him and his wife sitting there, and you know, pretty much talks about it, and you know, they're dealing with it and all this other type of stuff. I've told her everything, you know, we're at a good place now. And so of course everybody's, you know, getting on her, like, why didn't you not leave? They're also getting on her appearance, because she did look a little interesting, you know, in her video, but the man that she's been with for 12 years has been cheating on her, and the world knows it. So yeah, I can see maybe she didn't feel like putting on makeup or taking that bonnet off and just kind of doing her hair or something. But they did another video. Yeah, where she's just like, you know, he's not making me not talk. I'm not being held captive. We've talked about it. And, you know, when you got to pray and you got these things that come to your relationship, I did leave at first, but I've seen a change in him, and he's getting the guidance that he needs, and we're going to get through this. And so it's been a whole lot of backlash from people now, because how do you trust what this guy's been saying? And then more stuff is coming out, because apparently a lot of times he's been shooting his YouTube videos, it's outside the home of one of his mistress's house. And so she didn't know that he was married. He had told her that they were separated. All kind of craziness is coming out about this dude. And I find it hilarious on one side. I feel bad for his wife. And, you know, for this to be such a public thing that she has to go through. But to me, it's hilarious. Anytime you have, it reminds me of like those strong Christian value Republicans, you know, that are preaching, you know, family values and all that. But yet they're, you know, hooking up with other men in the boys' room, or, you know, they got mistresses, or they get prostitutes, all the different things that they claim they shouldn't do, they wind up doing. And that's what, to me, it's what this is this guy's been talking a whole lot of trash about men, and now it's come to bite him in the ass.
Well, let's be honest. If you look at this the way that you probably should, which is, he wasn't talking trash about men. He was talking about what he was doing. That's all he was telling you, how it works. He was just giving you the rundown of how it works, because he knows, because it worked for him. No, seriously, he'd go after celebrities and really trash them to help boost his profile. Now, here's the thing. I'd never heard of Derek Jackson before. I just saw this thing as news is popping up over on Derek Jackson, relationship expert, caught cheating on his wife. I'm like, who the hell is this? So what I do, I ask my wife. I'm like, you ever heard of Derek Jackson? She goes, oh, he's a clown. You know, but she had never believed in the stuff that he was saying before. Because if you have a good bullshit spotter, you can spot the bullshit when you see it. And if I had listened to a lot of stuff he was saying, I probably would have been like, there's something about this guy too. But if you want to believe it, and there are a lot of women who wanted to believe what he was saying, and women who broke up, as you can hear people talk about it, like women who broke up with their significant others because of this guy. Now, maybe they needed to, because there was something shady going on there. I mean, we can't say that every piece of advice he gave was wrong. It's just that he wasn't following the own, he wasn't the one doing what he's supposed to do. Like the pastor in the pulpit who is telling you about being faithful and doing this and this and this and being a man of a child of God, yet you know, sleeping with different women in the congregation, whether they're married or not, whether he's married or not. So this is the same type of thing. This is not new. It's just that this becomes this guy. And it's what made it interesting is the fact that he put his wife in the line of fire, right? Which is, if you're on social media and you've got 1.3 million followers on IG, then you understand how cruel social media can be, because you were cruel to a lot of people. You can't put her on camera like that, first of all, because you know when you put her on camera like that, what's going to happen. And it sure did, because it would deflect off him and everybody starts going at her. And now he gets to come in and be the savior and go, y'all leave my wife alone. Nah, bruh, you did this because you put her there. You should have done the video. When you were in the car, and I've seen the greatest meme, which, so you mean to tell me every time that he's been giving this advice in the car, driving back and forth, he's been either on his way to cheat or just got done cheating.
Yep.
But then here's the interesting thing about this. Somebody made a comment onto the video that he originally put out, right? And said, oh, you should do a reaction video to this. Because one of the things he does is reaction videos. So he actually goes to his car and does a reaction video on himself. And the fact that he talked about himself the first time around in third person and then does it again, he goes, and I'm going to talk in third person here, and does a 10-minute rant on the video that he had done, referring to himself in third person. And by the way,
mm-hmm.
the video of him and his wife, before that one, he had done another video where the woman that called him out, he called her a liar. So it's not like he feels bad about it. He came out and called her a liar and said, she's lying, this is not true, and then comes back and says, okay, yeah, no, I did do all of that.
yep.
And people are still going to follow him, he's still going to sell books, and he's still sending people, even in the video, he's like, and yes, I did cheat on my wife, and you know, we're working through it, and buy my book.
Yeah, how to make it work after you cheat. Now, here's the deal. There's some people, I think, that his situation maybe resonates with them in their relationship. And so he's still going to have some people who are still going to support him because they're going to say, well, look, no marriage is perfect and all that type of stuff. And I totally agree with that. Here's my issue with him, though. Let's just say I've seen Gordon Ramsay on TV a whole lot. But let's say I find out Gordon Ramsay really can't cook and I've been lied to all this time from all his shows because that's what he talks about. That's where I think his problem is, that Derek's problems come in, is you've talked all this game and you're not doing it. You know, you're not preaching, you're not living it. And the fact that that's what you constantly talk about makes it bad. Same as when a pastor cheats, right? Of course, the congregation is going to say, people slip, we fall down, but we get up. And they're going to, like, you know, pray for him, forgive him. Get it. Same as Derek. He's going to have some people that are going to, like, forgive him for this and still buy his books. But the challenge is when you're speaking all this stuff, now it makes a lot of people question your bullshit. Because really, that's what it was. And why not just come out and own it and just say, hey, don't come out pulling this, you know, I'm a sex addict or whatever.
Oh, that's coming. Cool. That's coming.
But just come out. Yeah, just come out and own it and just say, hey, look, I screwed up. I have a problem, you know, and you should probably leave your wife because she didn't deserve that. But then on the flip side, if you're going to go on TV or go on video with your wife, you looked great. Give her some time to prep herself to be camera ready, because that was the thing that a lot of people commented on. And it's not so much like how she looked, but just some of the stuff that she was doing, just sitting there, just weird. I'm just like, why would you be on TV? Why'd you be on camera doing this? You know, so I just think there's a better way that he could have done it. He didn't have to bring his wife into it at all. I think he should have just left her out of the whole deal.
He didn't take her along when he was cheating, so.
Exactly. Don't even bring her into it. It'd be one thing if they always made videos together and then he did this with her. I would see that. But why are you even bringing her into this? Because now her name and reputation is getting tarnished because of what you did. And I think he just has to be able to own that.
I will say this, though. There are a lot of guys that are jumping in her DMs right now. Because regardless, she was not made up she wasn't all glammed up, but she's still an attractive woman. And everybody going, so you cheating. All right, let me holler at your wife. Sorry, Miss Jackson.
Yeah.
And they're all jumping in her in DMs now. And hey, look, are you ready for some of that get back?
Yeah. You need a little payback. What's up, Ma? How you doing? Yeah, no,
holler
totally.
Holler at me for that James Brown, that big payback.
I think, you know, people's relationships and all that, it's normally when you see these, whether you call them famous, whether they're YouTube famous or actual TV movie famous, when they're going through these type of breakups and all that, I tend to say, hey, whatever. You know, I don't know what's in a relationship. But if you became famous on your stance on how to have good relationships and you're the one doing all this dirt, to me, you got a problem and people are going to stop listening to you. it'd be better for him just to divorce and then just have his show by himself where he talks about, hey, sometimes you cheat, sometimes you don't. Hopefully you find the right one where you don't cheat. And then maybe he'll start to get his following back up. But he's going to take a hit on this.
And like you said, you know, you hope he doesn't come with this sex addict thing. I think that's coming next, and we'll be talking about that as we go to this bullshit again in another week or two when he does it, and we just go, all right, you called it. Here we go with the sex addict lie, and, you know, whatever. It's anyway.
Right now he's on the apology tour.
Yeah, another one of your favorite things, so we'll see how this one kind of pans out. It'll be interesting to see. There are a lot of people who are following him a lot now, more so because he's gotten this. His profile has expanded because, again, you didn't know who he was. I didn't know who he was, right? But now we all know the name Derek Jackson. And here it is out here. And it's good. They say all news, all publicity is good publicity. You know, at the end of the day, I think it's one of those things that it could help his brand. But still hurt his brand at the same time. It helps his brand because it raises his public profile. It hurts the brand because he's known as a liar. It's going to be interesting to see what he does past this. But don't expect Derek Jackson to fade away and just disappear. He will be back one way or another, and he's still going to be trying to sell books, trying to sell the same old bullshit. And because here's the problem. In this social media world, it's all the memes this week. A month from now, nobody gives a shit, and he's able to move back on. If he just disappears for a month, he could do it for 6 months and come back, and his followers, his core followers, will still be there. All he has to do is post some inspirational quotes, just stop shooting the videos, just inspirational quotes about loving family, loving wife, and God can save me, and people will be, they'll buy into it, they'll buy all the books, and then all of a sudden, he's right back there where he needs to be. But that's the way that he goes to make this work, not putting your wife out on Front Street when she wasn't there doing all the dirt with you. It was all on you. Brother man, you should have been there sitting in the car having that conversation with yourself and, again, talking about yourself. Well, Derek Jackson did cheat, but Derek Jackson is a little sorry now, and Derek Jackson will repent, and Derek Jackson will make it up to his wife.
Now, here's how he can profit off of this. Let's just say he's able to turn it around and make things right with his wife, get things right in his family's relationship. Then he writes a book on if you cheat, here's how you get her back. And like, it's a book for men that messed up, and you know, they can learn from his mistake and do all the different things that he did to try to get the relationship back together. And then he can sell more books doing that. I think that would be a positive, but I think he needs to stop selling lies to women. And maybe, you know, diversify his audience and try to figure out, how do I get more men to listen in? Because a lot of women right now are going to be like, side eye.
Hey, fellas, have you ever been caught cheating before? I did. And I am a recovering cheater. Have the Derek Jackson anti-cheating pill. Oh, shit. Let's get the hell out of here. What you sipping on, man? Well,
again, since it's still early on a Sunday, I'm still drinking good old H2O, trying to hydrate after that morning job.
Word, that's very good of you. Soon enough, in the next couple of weeks, you'll hear me talk about me back in my workout routine, because I want to get back in that routine. I know I feel better when I do it, so I'll be doing that too. In the meantime, I'm drinking some coffee, but I do have my water nearby, because I've been sipping on my water as well too, so... I'll be toasting with water. We'll toast to Derek Jackson's anti-cheating pills and the recovery book.
Is his anti-cheating pill like the opposite of, you know, Viagra or something?
When you feel yourself getting a little horny, take one of these. It'll make your dick go down.
Try my vitamin supplement, the Munich 3000.
Oh, Jesus. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Definitely. Send us some of your random thoughts and some of your bullshit. We'll talk about them on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers, brother.